This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Welcome to Campus Voices, where each week we look at some key issues that affect UK students, the UK campus, and the Lexington community. Campus Voices is created by Journalism 304 students with the help of the journalism faculty. Please send any questions to news@wrfl.fm.
Maggie Davis. Today we will be talking about college students' well-being. Finals week starts on December the 12th. The UK Counseling Center offers free talk therapy to help students cope with exam stress. The center also offers other convenient resources and services. For example, the UK Students Wellness Center sponsors the Well Kentucky Initiative. The initiative aims to help students move, feel, eat, and learn more efficiently in order to overcome obstacles. WRFL's Muhammad Ahmad discusses what these campus resources and initiatives entail and how they can be effective for students.
UK students have multiple options to improve their well-being. The UK Counseling Center offers drop-in well-being workshops as one option. These workshops focus on yoga, meditation, and other stress busters. Students can also access the center's relaxation room. The room helps students practice and learn a variety of stress management skills. Counseling Center clinicians hold formal, confidential conversations through a program called Let's Talk. Let's Talk is held at five different campus locations Monday through Thursday. These conversations are not therapy sessions. Instead, they provide students with resource information. On the second floor of the Johnson Center, the UK Student Wellness Center offers even more. Well Kentucky is a campus-wide network that works through the Wellness Center. Its mission is to empower health and well-being for all UK students. The network helps students learn and develop different skills that can help them navigate their way through school. One of the network's mind and body programs is Core Room Meditation. Core Room Meditation is an evidence-based curriculum specifically designed for teaching students mindfulness and meditation. It's taught by a certified instructor at the Wellness Center. More information about these resources can be found at uky.edu/counseling center. For WRFL-FM, I'm Muhammad Ahmad.
Ashley Hinton and Greg Campbell are both here with us in the studio today to talk more about how students can improve their well-being. They're both well-versed on the subject. Ashley Hinton is the Wellness Director at the University of Kentucky Campus Recreation and Wellness. Her primary responsibility is to connect students to well-being information and resources while also fulfilling students' well-being unmet needs. She also leads the Well Kentucky Initiative. She has a master's degree in health and over 16 years of experience in public health and wellness. Greg Campbell graduated from the University of Kentucky with a bachelor's degree in kinesiology while playing on the Kentucky football team. He used to work as a personal trainer for Proof Fitness just for 6 years. Now he is an ambassador for Proof Fitness and FitVO. As an ambassador, it is his job to promote both companies' brands and products. As a personal trainer, it was his job to exercise with students that he worked with and recommend healthy food choices for them. Ashley and Greg, thank you so much for being here with us today. Ashley, we'll start with you. We just heard about the Core Room Meditation that's offered at the University of Kentucky. Have you had any experience working with that so far? And if so, do you find it effective helping students cope with stress?
Yeah, so the Core Room Initiative is a new initiative on University of Kentucky's campus. We have 13 trained instructors across campus, ranging from College of Nursing, as well as from engineering, fine arts, and then in campus recreation and wellness and the counseling center. We offer classes that are four-week courses, so it's an hour, 1 week for 4 weeks, teaching 9 different skills over that time for wellness and well-being, and to allow people to increase sleep, increase self-compassion, as well as decrease anxiety and depression. We have offered approximately 8 classes in the fall term, and we have our schedule being released now. You can find that on the RecWell Services website for classes in the spring as well.
And have you heard from the students how those classes have been beneficial in their learning and coping mechanisms?
So with it being a new initiative, we have had students participate in it. The evaluations are positive on them wanting to increase their meditation activities by attending multiple Kovru classes. We offered actually the Kovru 2.0, which is the next step, the 4 weeks following the basic, and had similar students come back and do those as well. So I think it is helping, but where it's such a new initiative, it's hard to see long-term impact of those skill sets and how they're using them.
Right. And of course it is new, but in the long term, in the future, do you see that becoming a more effective method for students rather than maybe traditional mindfulness exercises?
I think that is being shown at other campuses, that the Kovru is something that students can participate in and learn skills in a short amount of time that they can use over a longer period of time. But it does teach the mindfulness exercises that are also taught in other MBSR programs. So it's just teaching those skills and teaching you to do them in a 1 minute time instead of a 45 minute time that might seem overwhelming to others.
Right. So we touched on that mindfulness. Greg, in your experience, have you seen mindfulness impact how someone reacts to a physical performance?
Yeah, I think in the sense of being mindful when it comes to physical performance, I mean, it's needed, because without being mindful of one, what you're doing, it can put at risk of injury, but also it gives you a sense of purpose if you know what you're doing it for, because I mean, some people can perform physically or do something like exercise wise because they are trying to relieve stress or they're trying to cope with something. Yeah, I think it's definitely needed.
You talked about just there for a second about students coming in and wanting to exercise to help cope with stress. Do you see any patterns developing in what students want to do in order to make that happen, regimen wise?
I don't think there's necessarily a pattern. I think in the sense of like regimen, I think there's a pattern of just an outlet of some sort. And I think just through consultation and talking, you can kind of figure out what's going to be the best outlet in the sense of exercise regime for them.
Right, Ashley, back to you. As the director of Well Kentucky, how have you seen the initiative improve the overall well-being of students, and then which activities within that initiative are the most popular so far?
So just a little clarification. So Well Kentucky is a collective of professionals across campus. I help oversee that directive and make sure that we connect people, both the professional staff as well as students, to the resources. There's a steering committee of 4 members that help do that as well. One of the things with wellkentucky.org is it's a one-stop shop for students to find all well-being resources as well as program information. So that website connects you to the Counseling Center programs, to the BIS Center, to the King Center, and to a lot of different variety of well-being programs. We've had over 10,000 unique visits since the start of this school semester, so start of fall, and we get about 1,000 a week visits to that website. So wellkentucky.org, I think, has been useful for people to connect either to the programs that we're offering and to the resources in the departments of which are part of that organization.
With 10,000 people viewing that website, obviously there was an unmet need before. How did that come about, and what were the conversations surrounding it so that the university was made aware that, okay, this is something that students need?
Yeah, I think, for starters, I was not involved in the conversation since I started in February. But I think what we found is that students would have to go to multiple department websites to find wellness programs. And so now we've created a one-stop shop where they can find everything well-being, all of the programs being offered by all of the different departments at one site. Plus, it has content with articles, videos, quick tips, and other department links directly from that site as well.
Great. And now this one could go to either of you or both of you. How have you seen students need to motivate themselves through self-motivation within these particular programs? Obviously, mental health, physical health, most of it is self-driven. Is that a problem for students at all, Greg?
Like, are you asking, like, is it a problem for them to be self-motivated?
Right. Do you see it as an issue for students to, you know, get out there and make sure that they are taking care of themselves physically, especially when stress starts affecting their everyday life?
I think it depends on the person. I think there's some people who are just naturally just that way, and they see the benefits of it, and they get in a routine, discipline, and it's just, you just got to give them, I guess, the training plan, and they just go after it. But then there's some where it is difficult for them to be self-motivated. It might be because of some level of insecurity or just lacking drive, and so they may need some extra accountability and just positive reinforcement and things of that nature to really instill in them a habit that will hopefully one day develop into just their own character, where they begin to make it part of who they are, and they're self-motivated.
Ashley, do you see anything similar on the mental health spectrum?
So I'm a little more far removed as a student than Greg, so I won't speak on how students are motivated at this time. However, you know, there is a lot of research around help-seeking behavior, and one of the ways we are increasing individuals help-seeking is by reducing stigma of the different needs. So by making it more acceptable to find the resources that you need, to connect with those resources, to connect with a trainer such as Greg, or connect with a counselor, I think is one way that we can definitely break down that barrier.
Great. So we've heard about a few of the resources that are aimed at helping students manage their stress. However, with finals rapidly approaching, students might be feeling overwhelmed and stressed. WRFL's Muhammad Ahmad talks about the implications of stress and pressures on students and what they might mean.
The college experience can be overwhelming at times. That stress can lead to anxiety and depression. The Center for Collegiate Mental Health's recent report says that 24% of college students receiving counseling listed anxiety as their primary concern. More than 18% listed depression as their primary concern. UK Counseling Center psychologist Dr. Sharon Martin says those findings are consistent with her observations.
It used to be that depression was the primary concern, and it's kind of switched, so now it's anxiety, but depression is the second most common.
According to Martin, an anxious culture is a primary trigger for student anxiety.
We live with a lot of pressure and a lot of demands on us, and have a lot of responsibilities, and we have to learn how to manage that.
Martin says that the counseling center needs more counselors to help meet the increasing student demand.
As we hire more people, we have more students who are coming in, so we haven't been able to keep up with the trend very well.
Nonetheless, Martin says that she's seen the center help unleash students' potential.
One of the good things about a college population is that they are young and bright and eager and motivated to make a contribution in the world.
The counseling center offers walk-ins and appointments for individual counseling Monday through Thursday. For WRFL-FM, I'm Muhammad Ahmad.
Well, as the semester wraps, like we just heard, students often feel their stress levels begin to rise. We heard a little bit about depression, anxiety on campus. Ashley, in your experience, what have the most prevalent issues been that students are coping with, especially this time of the semester?
I think a lot of our centers are seeing an increase of demand on services, so that would speak to one thing. Another is students balancing both life in the classroom and life outside of the classroom. And so finding those breaks, finding that time for themselves, taking that moment to do what they need to do to maintain well-being is extremely important at this time.
Greg, how have you seen exercise help students really build that confidence and maybe even teach them a little bit about that balance that she was just referring to, having to balance, you know, going to class and getting that exercise in?
I think to be successful in any, I guess, form of fitness or wellness, it takes discipline. And I think you can kind of start to see the principles of discipline in the health and wellness realm, how it can really benefit you in the classroom as well. And I think the benefits, even psychologically, when it comes to health and wellness, can, if you really make it a part of your life, it starts to benefit you in a way where it's something you want to keep doing, because, you know, when stress arises, cortisol comes up, and then just in our normal flight and fight response, same cortisol. And so, like, when you have, like, I guess in that moment you go do something physical, it releases certain hormones like dopamine, serotonin, and things of that nature that kind of decreases that stress. And so when those stressors arise the same way, like from class, if we don't do something about it, it's just going to cause depression, anxiety, things of that nature. So exercise is a great way to really help with those issues.
What would your advice be to someone who is struggling with stress or even a mental health issue but doesn't necessarily know how to take that first step?
Well, I would try to get them in contact with resources, people like Ashley, who may have more connections than I may have in that department. But just encourage them not to be afraid to be open and honest where they are, and just to encourage them to take the necessary precautions to help them, and to not feel ashamed for having this mental state going on, and that it's more common than they think, and that they're not alone. And so just try to point them in that direction from there of getting the help that they need.
Right. And you touched on it a little bit, but how is the university working to help decrease that stigma around mental illness so that people are coming and getting the help that they need?
I think there's a lot of work being done on that from a variety of different departments. So I can't speak on probably all the things that are happening. But one thing is letting people know the resources are here. We have student wellness ambassadors, so peer-led education, where peers are going to peers and connecting them to resources, letting them know these resources are not only here, but it's okay to utilize them and it's okay to reach out to them. We also, I think by just communicating the needs and what is happening and those statistics and those numbers, letting individuals know that they are not alone. I think that's important that Greg mentioned that the way students are feeling at this time of being stressed, they're not alone, and their peers are feeling that too, whether or not they're talking about it or not.
Right, and finding that balance between mental health and physical health can sometimes be difficult, but exercise and a healthy diet can help you stay fit, exercised, and provide you with even more benefits. WRFL's Curler Wilson reports on the importance of physical fitness.
Physical wellness is an essential key to a healthy lifestyle for the common college student in today's society. According to the Canadian Medical Association Journal, not only is it important to have good physical wellness to stay healthy, but it's essential to take proper care of the body because it will help students stay in shape, and it will also help them perform better in the classroom. The CMAJ states that overall physical wellness encourages the balance between physical activity, nutrition, and mental health. Physical activity is what keeps the body in top condition. This includes going to the gym and doing strength exercises, performing aerobics, doing yoga, and playing recreational sports. Benefits that can be attained from these activities are strengthened bones and muscles, reduced risk of stroke and disease, and more energy. It is easy for college students to develop unhealthy eating habits when they first start college. According to the Journal of Nutrition and Human Health, majority of undergraduate students eat at college dining facilities with limited healthy food options. They also state that if the students do not attain adequate nutrition daily, a decrease in academic or physical performance can result. It's important for college students to keep their bodies nurtured by eating healthy meals and having a well-balanced diet. Filling themselves with a good variety of vitamins and nutrients will keep their body functioning at its best and prevent illness. For WRFL-FM, I'm Carlisle Wilson.
Well, like we just heard, there are some struggles with keeping a college student healthy, especially those dining hall meals.
Oh, yeah.
Greg, in your experience so far, how easy has UK made it for students to maintain a healthy lifestyle, whether that be through the dining halls, through the gyms?
I think it's easy, relatively speaking, because I think there has to be a level of knowledge. Like I myself, exercise was available, healthy food options were available, but I didn't have the knowledge to be able to get what my body needs. And so I think the university has those options, but I think just students need to be informed, and that I think the university can do that in some kind of capacity, or they can just go find the information themselves.
Ashley, do you think that UK, or how do you think that UK does a good job in promoting a healthy lifestyle on campus?
Specific to nutrition?
Just in general, just an overall healthy lifestyle, whether that be physical, mental.
Yeah, I think the University of Kentucky has a plethora of resources and options. So we have now the alumni gym that's open. So we have a fitness center on both sides of campus right now. The dining halls, although there are some choices that may not be as healthy as others, there are definitely some healthy options. It's having that willpower to seek those out over the unlimited plates of the other stuff.
The ice cream bars.
And the ice cream bars and the other options. So. So we definitely have the resources, we have the means, our campus environment promotes it. It's a matter of choosing.
Yeah.
Right, well, like we just heard, UK students do have resources on campus that can help them achieve these physical health benefits and goals. These, combined with wellness programs, can help students improve their overall well-being. WRFL's Carlisle Wilson reports on how you can improve your physical well-being in college and the benefits that come with taking that first step.
Associate Professor of Kinesiology and Sports Leadership, Dr. Steve Parker says he believes it's important that college students get 3 meals a day and stay on a good sleep schedule.
A lot of them haven't been away from home in a long time. And so what happens, they've been used to having, you know, probably a regular schedule at home and been able to get certain meals. And they haven't been used to the stress of the academic work that's different than high school. Plus, they have lack of sleep. So with the lack of sleep and not getting regular, you know, food that they normally get, it's important that they set a schedule where they eat 3 meals a day. And it's a balanced 3 meals a day, along with anywhere between 7 and 8 hours of sleep.
Dr. Parker explains what proper food intake and a healthy lifestyle does for the body. He says that even though college students are young, it is still very possible to get diseases such as cardiovascular disease and heart disease.
It helps you keep the lean body mass. It's the number, it's the amount of muscle is compared to fat. So a lot of the cardiovascular diseases are started early on in a person's life. And if you don't get the proper food intake and you eat foods that are high in saturated fats and all those type of things, it's a possibility you can develop heart disease.
Dr. Parker says he believes that UK is doing a good job at promoting physical health and wellness.
There's plenty of spaces where people can actually work out, you know, in terms of they want to have machines, they want to have, you know, a number of cardiovascular things. They're right on campus, and if you're on South Side or North Side.
With the addition of the alumni gym, UK now has 2 workout facilities open to all of its students. The alumni gym is 29,000 square feet and sees about 1,000 people a day. The Johnson Center is 87,000 square feet and sees about 1,500 visitors a day. For WRFL, I'm Carlisle Wilson.
Well, like we just heard, we now have the alumni gym on North Campus as well as the JT facility on South Campus. Greg, in your experience, do you think having that variety of facilities, especially on 2 different sides of campus, is that a way to really help get more students involved in maintaining that physical well-being?
Oh, absolutely, just because of the proximity, because I couldn't imagine, especially weather like today, students on North Side walking all the way to the South Side campus just to go work out the JC. And so I think with that variety of proximity, but also just different things that they have each gym, it's like perfect to serve the needs for all the students.
And in the interview, we also heard Dr. Parker mention that students might be getting a lack of sleep while in college, especially during this time of the semester. What negative effects would that have on a student who, even one who is trying to really get involved in their physical well-being, if they're not getting that proper amount of sleep every night?
Well, it'll definitely affect their amount of focus and when it comes to studying things of that nature. But also, even if they're adding a some kind of training regime in their life, that time of recovery to heal the body, that's also going to take a hit as well. And so there's a need for sleep, because I know the common thing, I did it myself, was all-nighters and thinking I'm actually doing something. But the days I actually said, you know what, I'm just going to sleep instead and study in the morning, I was actually able to focus more and to really retain the information. I see students that do that, they actually do better when it comes to like their focus, when they actually focus on getting some good sleep.
Ashley, in your experience, how much does a lack of sleep hurt a student on the mental side of things?
Yeah, I think there's a whole lot of research coming out about lack of sleep and releasing the toxins by going through all the REM cycles and allowing you again to focus, but also to concentrate and do well. The other side of students' behavior around lack of sleep is what they use to reduce or to stay up all night, and that is by extra intakes of caffeine or Red Bull or other substances that can absolutely hurt the individual's physical performance as well as health long-term and short-term.
And going off that point, do you think prescription drug usage also would play a part in that? And if so, how much of an importance does the university place on resources for that issue?
Yeah, so absolutely, prescription drug misuse would absolutely play a huge part in students, you know, harming their bodies and creating a lifetime of unhealthy behaviors around not only lack of sleep, but other possible substance use disorders. So definitely that. My office works closely with the mandatory alcohol and other drug classes by providing restorative actions to those needing help, needing interventions, needing support. Also the collegiate recovery community, with the rise of prescription drug misuse, opioids, problems across the, not only the state, but across college campuses. campuses, providing a space where recovery is possible and where students can work with one another in recovery.
And misusing caffeine and prescription drugs obviously has a disastrous effect on students' mental health. Greg, what do you think those extra toxins would do to a physical body?
I think it'll definitely disrupt any form of homeostasis that you're trying to keep within your body. I think you're trying to, I mean, it can mess up because we all have like our own like internal clock. Maybe it's circadian rhythms, I'm not for sure. I'm too far removed from school. But it can, in the introduction of that, there can be a dependency on these substances where going through withdrawals can just do more harm than good. And then it's just like, then using it will do even more harm than good as well. And so it's just like the need for sleep is far greater than trying to mess your body up.
Trying to get it one good grade.
There you go.
Right,
there you go.
Right. If you could give students one piece of advice, especially heading into these dog days of the semester, what would that advice be about having to keep their physical fitness up to par?
I would say be proactive. Be proactive and at least doing at least 30 minutes a day, if not like 3 to 4 days a week, because it'll help them in their whole, even with studying and trying to keep a good mental state as well. And because I think the trend would be like, I don't have enough time. It's like, I think 30 minutes or taking a break for 30 minutes isn't going to really hurt that much.
Right. And going off that, Ashley, in terms of students on the mental spectrum end of things, what advice would you give to students maybe struggling with things like test anxiety or depression, especially here at the end of the semester?
I think it's not too late to start healthy behaviors. I know it's toward the end of the semester, the stress levels are high, but it's not too late to find 5 minutes, 10 minutes to do something healthy. Some of the CoVRU skills taught can replace some of those negative behaviors. So there's one skill in particular called dynamic breathing that is a 1 minute exercise students can do to wake their bodies up, to increase energy flow, as well as create a feeling of relaxation. And so learning those skill sets, taking advantage of the fitness opportunities so that we can be healthy, we can be active. And again, it's not too late to go ahead and incorporate those in, and you actually will perform better on your test and your end of the year papers by taking those short breaks that you need.
And if students wanted more information on any of the programs you mentioned today, where should they go to find that?
WellKentucky.org is the website where you can find all student well-being information, one-stop shop for all things wellness.
Great. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you to both of our guests for coming in and sharing their expertise on this very serious topic. Tune in again next week to Campus Voices at 5 p.m. when we will go in depth about graduation rates of African American students at the University of Kentucky. I'm Maggie Davis. Thanks for joining us. Good night.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm. And, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to wrfl.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.